Happy Friday and happy Valentine's Day right here on the Locked On Spurs. I am your host, Jeff Garcia, News 4 San Antonio and Fox 29 SanAntonio.com. And hope you're having a lot of love today. It's a very special day for all you couples out there. And hope you're getting everything you want with you and yours. But the Spurs fans, they're kind of have a little bit of love for the Spurs considering how they started the break with a big win over Oklahoma City and more like a much-needed win over OKC. And it's going to be quite some time before your Spurs are back in action. And by the way, the Roadie Road Trip's not over. So when they come back, they'll resume that. I think I believe it's at Utah. Correct. Yeah. So hopefully the Spurs will continue this win into another win and more wins down the road. Now that will be something fans will love. And speaking of fans, we're going to have another fan episode today. Look, again, the Spurs don't play for a while, so why not bring in the fans, let them have their opportunity to speak about their favorite team and more. And we're going to do that today. We're going to be talking about two topics. Basically, are just fans ready for this whole organization franchise to rebuild or retool? What do fans want to see done moving forward? And also, are fans acknowledging, at least do they even know that as currently constructed, this Spurs team does not have a player that screams franchise player and how that may be key moving forward. So who is repping all of Spurs fandom? Paul Saldana. He's a longtime Spurs fan. Actually, a Spurs fan living in Houston. We got to talk to him about that and much more. Paul, welcome to Locked On Spurs. And are you ready to bear the entire world of Spurs fandom on your shoulder?
Hey, what's up, Jeff? Yeah, I think I'm ready to try to share my fandom with the Spurs fans.
All right. Well, how is it living in Houston being a Spurs fan?
Oh man, it's great because you can throw up 5 rings to their 2, so that usually keeps them pretty quiet. Even though yeah. The last couple trips to the Toyota Center, you know, I've been there and it's been hasn't been as good as it used to be the last few years.
No, it hasn't. The times are changing. Rockets are kind of on the upward trend while the Spurs are kind of in maybe a mediocre trend. But speaking of trends, Paul, look, Spurs fans, they have to know that this team is right there as far as rebuilding or retooling. Now, a rebuild, I think you know that, just means to blow everything up. Let's start over from scratch. Move forward. Retooling, maybe a trade here, a trade there, a player moving here, a player moving there to get everything back on track. As a representative of Spurs fans, do you think the right move for this team is to rebuild or retool?
Well, from what I'm seeing online and, you know, mainly Twitter, it looks like a lot of fans are just about ready for the complete rebuild. And you know, they got their eyes on Lonnie and DeJounte and, you know, possibly Keldon and the other Luka. Is that going to be our young core moving forward? Are those the picks, you know, that the Spurs will use, you know, to develop, you know, the next step in the franchise? But, it looks like this year's pick will be one of the better ones we've had in a while. So, it looks like, you know, the rebuilds, kind of the writing's on the wall, but, you know, also it's weird with the vets on the team, you know, maybe a slight tweak here or there can, you know, put the Spurs back into the middle of a playoff race, you know, obviously not this year, but maybe in the next, you know, two, three years, there's a window, you know, there's a retool you can see with, you know, led by DeMar DeRozan, infused with a young core, and an aging LaMarcus. So, you know, it's kind of up in the, you know, it's kind of hard to figure it out because, you know, this year's been, you know, such a roller coaster. Even last year, I think one thing that that's been so consistent with Spurs fans is the Spurs inconsistent, you know, us complaining about the inconsistent Spurs, right? Because, you know, they're consistently inconsistent. So,
right. Yeah, they really have been this season. And as much as that win over OKC was needed, just for morale, I think the Spurs themselves were down. And I know Spurs fans were definitely down. You were very vocal about that during that losing streak on social media. But Paul, the Spurs do have pieces for a retooling if they play it right. They could sign and trade DeMar DeRozan in the offseason. He's up against the final year of his contract with the Spurs. Would they sign him and then trade him? That could net something to him. And then that goes to the retooling. But are you afraid, and is this something that Spurs fans think about, that if they retool and bring in some solid NBA players that could push this team back into title contention, that could stunt the growth of the younger players?
See, with the retool, yeah, you got to walk the fine line of letting the young core develop and, you know, be the foundation, or, you know, and bringing in somebody who's at, you know, I guess if you want to say like the grown up in the room to, mm-hmm. you know, lift these guys' games up another level. And, you know, maybe DeMar can do that, or, you know, maybe there is the option of, you know, like you said, the sign and trade. That's the million-dollar question. I think if we knew that, you know, that the Spurs fans would jump in on it, you know, jump in on, you know, whichever way would take us, you know, the retool, mm-hmm. the rebuild, whichever way brings us, you know, closest to the, you know, back in the race per se.
Yeah, look, it is a fine line because you're seeing a little bit of that right now with DeMar DeRozan. And for example, him at the guard spot, you know, you're not letting Keldon get his reps. You're not really seeing Lonnie get more minutes because DeMar deserves touches, and rightfully so. He's a vet. He's an all-star. You know, he's leading the team in scoring and assists. So there's that. And, you know, he's a proven commodity. Lonnie, for example, he's showing that he is on an upward trend, but he's not a proven commodity yet. You know, he has his moments where he looks good, and he has moments where he's taking his lumps on the court. So you're right. It's an absolute fine line. You bring in veterans with a sign and trade, for example, DeMar DeRozan or even Marcus Aldridge, or just dangling him for pieces, then that could inhibit the growth of younger players like your Luka Simoniches and Keldon and Weatherspoon, and of course Lonnie, et cetera, et cetera. Now, as far as a complete rebuild, reset, it sounds to me, and you mentioned that Spurs fans really prefer that direction for the most part. Paul, are fans ready for the ripple effect of that, that being more seasons of really bad play?
Oh man, ready or not, I mean, it's here. mm-hmm. It's the first time, it's looking like the first time in a long time that the Spurs aren't gonna mm-hmm. post season in. And you know, that's mm-hmm. gonna, you know, that, you know, like the losing is not, you know, in the Spurs DNA. So, you know, hopefully, I think, you know, fans just want it to be as quick as possible, you know, no long process, you know, I mean, it, you know, because, you know, when you go into the process like that, you got to get the matching players, because it took, you know, even the Sixers a while to land on Embiid and Simmons, where, you know, they got rid of the process, you know, also included, you know, the Okafor pick, mm-hmm. the Noel pick, Michael Carter, all those guys, you know, came and went. So just hopefully it's the transition is going to be even something newer for us, because, you know, how long is Pop going to be around for this transition of rebuild? Does the front office want to do that for, you know, the last couple of Pop years, have them, you know, struggling between 30, 40 wins, you know, kind of putting a couple bad notches on the, you know, the Hall of Fame legacy he's built.
Right. Now, look, I mean, you look at the last few seasons, you know, he has been having Popovich, that is, a one-and-done playoff run, so first-round exit. I mean, that's pretty much been the pattern the last couple seasons. So this season, if they do make the postseason, that chance of him having another one-and-done series is high, because they'll likely draw your Lakers or your Clippers or your Nuggets, whatever, whoever comes out on top. That chance is still there. And as far as rebuilding, though, do you think that if they're going to rebuild everything, like a la Oklahoma City, where they just blew it up, you know, giving away, you know, Westbrook and blowing up everything, do you think Popovich should be part of that complete rebuild as well? Start over even in the coaching ranks, Paul?
You know, I think, you know, with where Pop's at in his career, you know, it might be something where you move him up to the front office.
Yeah.
And, you know, him and RC stay involved, and, you know, we go with, you know, who, someone on the bench now, either Becky or Tim, whoever gets the mm-hmm. the nod from Pop. I mean, You know, or they can honestly, even
go
like
we've been, they can go in the coaching ranks. I mean, the college coaching ranks too.
Yeah, there are those rumors. I mean, but yeah. I mean, we've been saying it for decades already, and you know, in Pop we trust. So, you know, hopefully, you know, the exit plan, you know, something that'll last, you know, for decades to come, and it's not anything that, you know, Spurs fans are, mm-hmm. you know, turning through coaches, you know, every couple years, you know, like the rest of the NBA, because. You know, we've been pretty spoiled. Just hopefully, you know, we're not rotten yet. You know, yet you know, barking at the team and at the front office.
Yeah.
We've had a pretty good run. You know, maybe just let's get it as quick as we can. You know, kind of rip the Band-Aid off.
Yeah.
And see where the franchise is at.
It sounds to me, Paul, that you yourself, just as an individual, now you're not repping the entire Spurs fan base, but just you as a Spurs fan, you're ready for a rebuild. It sounds like you wanted to go that direction.
I think I'm more retool. I really love seeing DeMar's game. It's just he's just so like smooth out there. I would love to watch him for another. You know, like I think, like I said, a top 3 years. You know, yeah. But that may be me being a little too selfish, you know, because I like his game. You know, is that right for the franchise? You know, is his presence in San Antonio, you know, really gonna stop? But I mean, you know that's why the front office and Pop, you know, they get paid the big bucks. They have their eyes on these players. They know what they have. You know, in DeMar, and you know, hopefully LaMarcus, you know, what's left in the tank.
Yeah,
for that guy.
Yeah, exactly. No, there's definitely a crossroads for this franchise as we speak, Paul. I think a lot of Spurs fans understand that this losing ways they've had, at least technically the first quote unquote half of the NBA season, even though they're past that, but the All-Star break usually is that middle portion of the season. You're seeing the losing streaks, the 8-game losing streak, the recent five-game losing streak. You know, a win here, a win there, then two losses in a row, then another win. You know, it feels like this team is sputtering. That's what it feels like. They're just sputtering to get by. And in order to change, they got to, as you mentioned, you prefer the retool, or as many Spurs fans want, the rebuild. In my opinion, I think either way could prove beneficial. It doesn't matter. It's kind of like a win-win situation. Fine, you rebuild, great. Then Keldon and Luka and Weatherspoon are going to get their run. And here we go. They're playing for the future. You're going to get some really good picks. You retool? Great. You're going to use somebody to trade, sign and trade DeMar or LaMarcus or, dare I say, any other younger prospects they have that could net them bigger fishes in the pond. Great. So it sounds like it's win-win. Just pick your poison. Which way do you want to go? And I think that's what you're seeing right now. And I think it's a lot of frustration. I think the first domino to fall will be DeMar DeRozan at this end of the regular season or postseason for the Spurs. All right, so you heard what Paul had to say about rebuild versus retooling. When we get back, Paul and I are going to continue our chat, but this time we're going to be looking about the roster itself. Could anybody on that roster be part of a rebuild or a retool as far as a franchise player is concerned? We're back, and I'm talking to Spurs fan Paul Saldana. He is representing the entire Spurs fan base on this fan edition of Locked On Spurs. Paul, I didn't ask you in the beginning. How long have you been a Spurs fan?
I was born '88, so growing up, I think, you know, I was just a young kid, so I saw, you know, to be honest, I saw, you know, the Rockets were winning, you know, the Cowboys were winning, the Rockets were winning. The Cowboys suck. But I think by the time Timmy and David got paired up, you know, seeing the Twin Towers as a little kid just were awesome. So I think it was the Twin Towers of Tim and David Robinson that got me involved. I remember middle school, high school, you know, arguing with Laker fans, you know, trying to, you know, during the Kobe chat, that was always just so much fun. You know,
mm-hmm.
just, you know, cheering for the Spurs because, you know, it was either LA or San Antonio winning a championship. You know,
yeah,
beginning of this millennium.
Well, let's just put it this way: I'm not going to reveal my age to you, Paul, but I am a lot older than you. I'm old enough to be your father. Let's put it that way. So my days began in the Hemisphere Arena. That's how far I go back.
Oh, man. Yeah. I grew up in Corpus Christi, so the only thing I know was they played at the Alamo Dome, and then a few years later, they ended up moving to, it was called the SW, was it?
Yes,
the SB Center. Yeah, before AT&T Center.
Yeah.
So I remember that. So that dates me a little bit, but not too much.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been a Spurs when, like I said, when the Hemisphere Arena was around, shortly after their move from Dallas to San Antonio. And this is even when the Hemisphere Arena only had one level. A lot of younger Spurs fans obviously don't remember this because they weren't around like I was, but Hemisphere Arena used to just have one bowl, which was the lower bowl. That was it. The upper bowl was done later, like towards the end of their stay in the Hemisphere Arena before they moved to the Alamo Dome. And that's how you've probably heard about the obstructed seats came to be. Because in order to make that second level, they had to put these giant poles sticking from the ground up to hold up the second level. So that what that happened was seats were built around that pole, and you could get tickets for those for like $2, $3. And you would have to like just peek over and look at the game. They used to have little monitors underneath the level, but they were so tiny, you really couldn't see anything. But the good news was they were dirt cheap. Nobody wanted them. And if you're a kid like me, you know, I'm just going to the game. I'm going to eat. Like, you know, I have no idea what's going on. You know, just the other guys playing the game. So, and that's how those polls came to be. And that's why you heard of the obstructed seats. That's that infamous seat that nobody wanted in the Hemisphere Arena. But enough of a walk down memory lane. Let's take a walk into the future. Paul, you know, again, you're putting your fan rep hat on. Fans, they got to know, unless you're going to tell me something different. But there's nobody on this roster that screams franchise player, is there?
I mean, the closest we've got is, you know, DeMar DeRozan. He's a, you know, in the West, he's a borderline all-star. Unfortunately, that's the truth. I mean, you saw that run he went on. He can, I mean, and we've seen him the last year and a half. He can take over a game, but then there's times when it looks like, you know, he's out of gas, you know.
Yeah.
And shouldering the load. I mean, is it, you know, is that his ceiling, or, you know, can it be maximized with, you know, with a little more help?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but yeah, right now, as this roster shows, you know, DeMar DeRozan's the closest thing we've got to an all-star, and you know, LaMarcus is, you know, I hate to say it, but, you know,
he's not franchise.
Slowly fading. I love the guy. Yeah, I love the guy. You know, grew up a Longhorns fan too. Now, you know, Longhorn on my favorite team, like, you know, I love his game too. I mean, he can still put in the work, and you saw him in Zion's first game. He was like, so guys, I've been doing this for over a decade in the NBA. Let me show you how it's done, Zion.
Yeah.
And then that kid just goes off and splashed all those threes. That was fun.
But, well, here's the thing.
But I mean,
Go ahead, Paul.
Oh, I was just going to say then, you know, once you get past, you know, the two vets, you know, it looks like, you know, DeJounte, Poeltl and White, those are they're still a couple years away from, you know, reaching borderline all-star. But, you know, maybe, you know, it looks like they're on the right, you know, the right path, you know, with maybe DeJounte or, you know, I would have to say maybe White. You know, they got the, you know, maybe they can work their way in, but hey, we're in the West and,
yeah,
and reach an all-star. So, you know, to build around somebody, you know, you want to build around an all-star. Mm-hmm. You know, the West, how is that, you know, a guard, somebody in the backcourt really gonna break through?
Right. Well, look, you know, as of right now, as this recording of this show, you and me, this roster doesn't really scream, hey, this guy's a franchise-type player. There's no, like Zion, for example. You look at him, you're like, okay, this kid is special, you know? You look at this current roster, there's ones that are close, like, hey, you know, DeJounte's getting there. You know, he admits himself that he's still a work in progress. Popovich has come out and said it, but, you know, he's had his ups and downs. LMA looks like he's on the back end of his career already. And, you know, he's still trucking along, but, you know, his day is going to come sooner than later. And DeMar, you know, there's a reason why Toronto was okay trading him. because they got themselves a franchise type player, which is Kawhi Leonard. Now, to be fair, it took Kawhi Leonard a while before he turned into Kawhi Leonard. We saw that towards the end of his stay in San Antonio before, well, the drama began. So knowing that, for an example, Kawhi Leonard really didn't become the megastar he is till a few years down the road. You're a stats guy. You mentioned to me before we recorded that you love stats. Is there anybody statistically that could come close to that, that's part of the young crew, like Lonnie or DeJounte or even White or maybe somebody else?
No. I did a little homework last night when you let me know that I was going to be on. So I think the only thing that I found was barely reaching borderline all-star. You know, it's DeJounte Murray. You know, his PER, it goes to Rosen, Aldridge, you know, their PER. I know it's not the end-all, be-all of what it says about the player, but it's a good, measuring stick. And they're in the 20s still, so that's good. That's why some nights, we can hang with some of the big boys. But then the PER jumped down to DeJounte, and then everyone else is just at an average level. Like, it could be DeJounte because, the way he gets after it on defense. I mean, that's the key thing. I think that's what the Spurs could have used a little more at the beginning of the season when he was on his minutes restriction. It seemed like, the sending him out like those fourth quarter runs when we all know in the fourth quarter Spurs, it seems like I thought that was just, hey, once DeJounte gets in the closing lineup, but it's just kind of hard to play him in the closing lineup also with his, with his jumper still a work in progress, So, I mean, I think DeJounte has the tools to maybe get a little stronger, got more confidence in the jumper, facilitate the ball, limit the turnover. I think you want to see, that assist to turnover ratio go up to somebody, a little better. Like, I think I was looking at it. It's around like a two to one ratio. You want to see that? I looked it up. Ricky Rubio is like a 3-1, a full assist more, which, helps an assist, means like an easier bucket for a teammate, which improves y'all. Hopefully that's a 3 at that, too. We haven't even gotten to the, a lot of this is, a lot of the Spurs struggles is from the 3, behind the line, defensively and sometimes offensively. We can't keep up.
No, you're absolutely right. And I agree with you. I think DeJounte is probably the next all-star that this team has. But as far as franchise player, I'm not there yet with DeJounte, to say, yeah, he is going to carry this team by himself to the promised land. I'm not there yet. I hope he gets there. Look, he's coming off an injured season. He missed an entire season because of that injury. Popovich has come out and said that they're not expecting him to be the leader. They expected him just to get better. And DeJounte himself said it, I think, after the last game versus OKC. He said, I talked to the media, that he's not there yet still. And he recognizes it too. So I think he's still a work in progress. But I do hope he gets there. Of course, you got your trio of rookies in Austin, Samanic and Johnson and Weatherspoon. And again, they're good players, at least what we've seen on the G League level. But we haven't really seen what they can do at the NBA level yet. So we still got to hold out. But no, and I think this leads back to our first topic as far as rebuilding and retooling. Look how the Spurs were built into the Goliaths they were. They drafted Tim Duncan. They drafted David Robinson. They dug deep and they found Parker and Ginobili. And, they made a trade in the draft for Kawhi Leonard. You see where I'm going with this. It seems they built in the draft with really good picks and high picks or number one picks, two of them, Robinson and Duncan. That, I think, in my opinion, that's the only way they'll get to the promised line. They got to get themselves that franchise player. They got to get the player that can put them on their back and let's go. And as of right now, I don't see that within this roster. Things can change this offseason. Obviously, they are going to change. You're going to see players move. You're going to see somebody stay or go, looking at DeMar DeRozan. So we'll see where this Spurs team is at. But, Paul, before we segue into our next segment. Does the fact that the Spurs don't have a franchise-type player right now, do you think that bothers Spurs fans? Do you think it worries them? Or is this still a situation of, we still got to rebuild?
I think Spurs fans, I'll always go to the games. You know, like I said, you know, living here in Houston, when every time they come, you know, I'm there at the Toyota Center. So, you know, with the with our struggles the last year and a half, you know, I'm still going to the games. I'm still watching every night. But you know, I can see a few Spurs fans, you know, kind of more fair weather fans, like, oh, you know, where they would have turned on the game or went out with some friends to the game.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe now they're a little more like, nah, Spurs suck. I don't really.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't want to
go. Well, you're seeing a lot of that.
Why are we gonna watch? Yeah. I mean, why are you gonna watch the game? They're just gonna blow them. Oh man.
Yeah.
Right on cue. That the other night against Denver, I think we all saw it coming from a mile away.
Yeah, we did.
That was the easiest. That was bad.
I think that game broke the backs of a lot of us Spurs fans. I think that at that point. Recognize this team is what it is, and even though they beat OKC, it still, you know, was happy, and everybody was, you know, sarcastically having fun with it afterwards, saying, oh, we're going to a car honk in downtown San Antonio, and it was fun. And I think that did well for Spurs fans' morale, and I think it's for just to lift spirits and, hey, you know just boost their spirits. But overall, we know the reality is this team has work to do. They're going to have a hard time to get into the postseason. Even Matt Bonner said it recently in an interview with ESPN San Antonio that it's going to be tough for them to make the postseason. So there's a lot of work to get. They're not out of it yet. Mathematically, they're not out of it still, Paul. And that's the great thing. There's still a puncher's chance. And look, if history repeats itself, then hopefully it does. Because remember, last season, they struggled all the way up to the Rodeo road trip, and then they turned it on towards the end of the Rodeo road trip, and they made a big push and they got in the postseason. They took Denver to 7 games. I'm hoping that situation happens again. They got themselves a big win versus OKC right before the break. Hopefully it'll continue and they make that push towards the end of the season. All right. When we get back, Paul and I are going to continue our chat about your San Antonio Spurs. We are back, and I'm joined by Paul Saldana, mega Spurs fan, on this episode, or fan episode, of Locked On Spurs. You know, Paul, I like to do this every once in a while, give the platform to Spurs fans and let them represent the Spurs fandom. Before we put a wrap on this episode, is there any other topics out there that I didn't talk about that Spurs fans are definitely talking about right now that needs to be addressed?
Well, I think the one thing on everyone's Spurs, on all Spurs fans' mind is you know, finding the right backcourt combination, you know, for this, you know, if we're going to make a run, like, you know, like we're all hoping for, you know, hopefully it's one last, you know, popcorn, whip them up and one last time, you know, one epic run to the eighth seed and then meet the buzzsaw late, you know, but into the buzzsaw, that's the Lakers, you know, Bellinelli and Forbes, you know, getting minutes to like, you know, you understand Forbes. I think everyone knows Forbes spaces the floor, which you know helps opens up the offense for DeMar to do his thing, for LaMarcus to do his thing, where Lonnie, you know, he we've seen him take a few threes, but you know, not as he doesn't have that kind of quick draw the way forward. Oh, I got it, I'm shooting, I got it, I, you know, because he'll either go, we've seen those nights where he goes, you know, 5 for 8 and you know the Spurs look good, and then we've seen the nights where him, you know, Forbes, Mills, you know, sometimes even White kind of struggle from beyond the arc, and you know the Spurs just can't hang because you know those are our 3-point threats, and you know let's face it, the NBA is, you know, like Pop's, you know, I never realized it now until, you know, Pop's been saying like, oh, the NBA's kind of, you know, ruined the game, but as long as you shoot more threes, you know, the odds are you're most likely gonna win. Look at the Rockets, they're all in. Just space the floor out. The paint's wide open. Take it if you want it. You know, but you're gonna have to hit threes in this NBA to make some noise. And you know, we just, you know, our 3-point shooters just so happen to be our worst defenders.
Yeah.
And then we get run with it. And you know, and it makes it, you know, makes DeMar and LaMarcus's when they're working hard down in the block and inside, you know, making those nice looking turnaround jumpers or fadeaway, you know, for two, when you can just roll off the screen and shoot a three. Like, you know, how are we going to join the 3-point revolution or get left behind in the in the dark ages, and
missing
the playoffs, eighth seed, first round exit. You know, how do we join the new NBA? You know, that's something. You know, with Pop getting up there, you know, maybe on his way out in the next couple of seasons. You know, where's the trend? You know, when's the transition start?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, but the Spurs are the trendsetters in mid-range shots. There's something there. But we know mathematically it makes sense. The three-point shot is worth more points, obviously, than the two-point shot. But, hey, you know what? Look, you know, I can't even look at the G League right now because I'm saying, well, Keldon's not the greatest three-point shooter, nor is Luka, nor is Weatherspoon. So they got some work to cut out for them if they want to join this new era of the NBA. It's going to take time, but yeah, that's definitely been on the lips of Spurs fans lately. And although Paul Pop did throw out there at one point during the last game, Walker, White, and Murray. What did you think about that?
Oh my goodness, are you kidding me? I was like, oh, you know, that's the backcourt, you know, we want to have out there. I think I remember seeing like a super smooth lineup. It might have been it was one of them. It was them, maybe Forbes, DeMar, and even LaMarcus was the down low. DeRozan was there, and then it was, I think, like it was those three, or it was either Forbes. Like, so they kind of have a little lineup flexibility. It's just defensively, you know the only guy who seems to get after it on, well, two guys, DeJounte and Derek. You know, they're two better defenders. Lonnie's shown he can he's athletic enough to stay in front of guys. You know, that when you get those three on the court together, you know, it could be a, you know, defensive monster. Mm-hmm. But you know, when you think of all their offensive games, you know, they're a little limited. You know, Derek White, you know, you want to see his 3 points go up, but him driving to the basket, you know, it looks like a little bit bigger. You know, I'm not saying Tony Parker, I'm not calling him Tony Parker. He doesn't have that spin and teardrop yet, but he's just as, you know, he's fat. Him and Lonnie, you can tell they have that gear that, you know, not all players have. They blow right past people, get to the lane. Like Derek White's a little more crafty, you can tell crafty under the rim, where, you know, Lonnie's looking to yam in. And I think you've been saying it. Once he gets that one, I think the floodgates will open. He's just going to be, you know, like Zion poster dunks, you know, all the time. Just, we should get that one where he just booms it. You know, the crowd goes wild, breaks the rim. And then, and you know, hopefully they just keep on coming. That's an exciting young backcourt core.
Yeah, can you imagine now coming off the bench of that with that unit?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that'd be fun. But hey, that's still a ways to go. Hopefully, you know what? And I'm saying it over and over again. I'll say it again. You know, I'm hoping it. I mean, it's a kind of a win-win situation, but it's also bad. But it's good. It's like one of those weird situations where. Let's get to the point, pretend that they're already mathematically out of the postseason this year. I'm saying just go for it, man. Just bring Keldon, Luke, and Spoon down and just roll the dice. Let them get some reps in. And they got nothing to play to root for other than the future at that point. So I'm hoping that's what they'll do if they do become mathematically out of it. But until then, just crossing fingers. All right, Paul, it's time to show and tell everybody where they can follow you on social media, and especially Twitter. Because they're going to come at you now, Paul. They're going to hate your takes. They're going to say, hey, what's this guy talking about? So give them your Twitter so they can come at you, Paul. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm usually pretty active on Twitter. It's P Saldana 52. And this is just my name, and you know, the number's 52. And I'll look forward to hopefully made a couple good points. And if people don't agree, then, you know, I'll find a way to back it up with some stats that I've been looking up. But
By the way, do you want to give us any other quick stat that you dug up for this show that was kind of interesting?
You know, I think one thing on the shows that I've been hearing is, you know, where's Rudy Gay and all this? He's just kind of, where the heck is that guy? Mm-hmm. But and then Poeltl, his PER is actually number 47 in the league. You know, and he's on in his limited minutes, like. You know, if in the second unit, you kind of see Poeltl out there. I'm not, you know, it's Jokic light. Like, diet, Joe, you know, it's Hill Country Fair joke. It's like he gets it at the top of the key, kind of uses his body, and you just see Derek White just hug. You know, it looks like a, you know, it reminds me of, you know, Jokic and Murray running that action at the top of the key. Like, and his assist numbers look good. Like, I want to see a little more Poeltl. And, you know, where's Rudy Gay? He's, you know, he's getting paid like the, you know, the third option. And, you know, his, you know, his quiet season is, you know, numbers are down for him. So,
yeah. And by the way, those listening in right now, Paul actually has a background in analytics, and he's actually worked with some major sports outlets. Like, I think you told me Fox Sports and ESPN. Is that correct?
Yeah. I started at the Express News. Moved up to ESPN where I worked in stats, and then I moved on to I was in stats, and then I moved to like a web editor, and actually wrote a few pieces about this, about the Spurs. And back in 2017, we had like a big NBA project where we're, it was like one for each team. Like, what are you looking forward to at the start of the season? We did it for each team, you know, and I did the Spurs at blog post. So. Yeah,
cool,
big
man.
Background in stats. You know, I like getting my hands dirty in the, you know, basketball reference, and
you love those stats, don't you?
Stuff.
No. Paul, I'm gonna get you on the record now. You know, I'm gonna have to tap you on the shoulder now when I say, Paul, I need a quick stat. Tell me how Derek White is doing in this game. So be ready for that, Paul. I'm warning you now.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Allison's accepted.
Yeah, there you go. He got it. Everybody heard it. Y'all are a witness. All right. Paul told you where you can follow him on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter as well, at Jeff G Spurs Zone. Speak to the Spurs Zone. Go to the Spurs Zone right now. News 4 San Antonio, Fox29SanAntonio.com. I know it's a few days off until the Spurs resume play, but if you want to see how Weatherspoon and Eubanks did recently, the Austin Spurs got a win. It's on the Spurs Zone. Go check it out. As well as, what do other Spurs fans feel about the potential all-stars that this roster has moving forward? Because we all know for All-Star 2020, there is no single Spur going to any event, but who are the next ones up? One of our writers, Marquez Anderson, wrote about that. So go check it out right now. But for Paul Saldana, thank you for coming on, by the way, Paul, appreciate you. I am Jeff Garcia, and we're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.